Do you know why I believe that marriages are falling apart? Because the devil is shooting at the very foundation of God's design for a godly seed. The devil is shooting his arrows right at the heart of God's design for a godly seed. And marriages are under attack, and the devil is standing back and taking aim at your marriage. And he's releasing many of his arrows, shooting them at the very foundation of the essence of the oneness that God has designed should be in marriage. He made two one. Wherefore did he make them one? That he might seek a godly seed, Malachi tells us. And so marriages are falling apart because of the hardness of men's hearts and the sinfulness of women's hearts too. Marriages are falling apart because of the hardness of men's hearts. And the stubbornness and the selfishness. And we say, I'm in charge. Men, it's time to get down off of our pedestals and kneel at the foot of the cross of Jesus and get a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross, yielding himself, giving up his life for the church, that he might sanctify her, that he might cleanse her. Your wife came to you a beautiful gift from God. Someday you're going to give an answer to God what you have done with the gift that God has given you. Have you made her more beautiful? Have you nurtured her? Have you cherished her? Have you loved her? Have you washed her with the word of the water of God? And have you prayed for her? And have you been gracious toward her? And have you allowed her to affect your life and to change you more into the image of Christ? First Peter tells us, and you don't need to turn there, but it tells us, husbands, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, I know that probably in this room there would be very few men, I would expect, who would say, I am finished. I am so irritated at my wife. I am so bitter at her. I'm going to get a divorce and put her away. But I wonder if today in this room, if we will be totally honest with ourselves, is there a spirit of divorce at work between you and your wife that you have allowed in to your relationship? A spirit of divorce. See, the devil is shooting at that oneness that God has designed. And he's shooting at the very core issues. Now let's just carry this out a little farther, men. Ye husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. What happens when you and your wife are not one. You've allowed a disagreement. You've allowed a conflict to come into your relationship. What happens when it's time to pray? Can you pray? Can you pray with your wife? No. Your prayers are being hindered. Your prayers are being stopped. And there are husbands in this room, I would dare say, who your prayers are being hindered. Maybe they've even dried up because of the hardness of your heart and allowing a spirit of divorce in your heart towards your wife. A spirit of bitterness, a spirit of resentment. Oh, you'd never say it, that I hate you. But there's a resentment. There's a coolness. There's an aloofness. And you know how to turn the cold shoulder. You know how to give her the silent treatment. And all those things. And so when it's time to pray, we just can't pray too good, can we? Because our wife knows us. She knows the sin in our life, and so it stops the prayers. The Bible says in 1 Peter there, and I think we should turn there. Let's do that. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. He says that your prayers be not hindered. And then he goes on and he says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Live with her in a considerate way, considering her, honoring her, realizing that you are joint heirs together of the grace of God, God's unmerited favor. Understand this in order that your prayers be not hindered and cut off. Because if you're not dwelling with your wife in oneness and in unity, you cannot pray effectively. Your prayers are hindered. And so getting back to Malachi, when mom and dad aren't on praying ground, what happens to those little children in your home? When mom and dad aren't in unity, and they've allowed a spirit of division to come in, what is coming into the home? My brothers, this is very serious. This is not a little matter, like we might think. God's eyes are upon you today. God's eyes are upon your marriage. God is very interested in your marriage. God is very jealous over your relationship with your wife. The Bible tells us what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. How about this man? You know, we put that off out there somewhere. Oh, we wouldn't divorce. How about this man putting asunder and breaking that oneness and that unity of spirit and heart in your marriage relationship? Holding a grudge against your wife. Holding out against her till she comes around and trying to change her. Are we guilty of that? Are you bitter against your wife? And out of that bitterness comes all kinds of things. Are you putting the squeeze on your wife? Are you putting pressure on her to conform to my way? Does she see in you Christ-likeness? Does she see in you the Christ-likeness of submitting yourself to God in the areas of your marriage relationship? Do you got the squeeze on your wife? And you're putting her in such a tight corner that lovely, beautiful, open face before God is beginning to get cloudy and downcast. And the joy isn't there like it was when you got married. Your expectations of her, she's not measuring up. So you set out to change her. And you put the squeeze on her. Instead of allowing God to work in your heart and change you. Instead of giving up and laying down my life. I want my way. And so I put the squeeze on my wife. And she feels the pain of the squeeze that I'm putting her under. The pressure. The expectations. Mom never did it that way. Why can't you ever learn? You made that same mistake again. And we put the squeeze on her. We want to fit her into our mold because you see we have our box. In the way we think it ought to be. And so we put the squeeze on her. And you know what we're doing? We're being rebellious and stubborn rather than submitting for the sake of oneness. And so we turn it a little tighter. And your wife is no longer that beaming, happy, joyful person she was when you married her. She was full of vitality and life when you married her. But today she looks wore out and dejected. And maybe even depressed. Men, this is sin. It's serious. So she doesn't measure up. So we do the unthinkable. That beautiful, lovely bride I married, I start shooting at her, taking aim. And saying, if you would only be in submission to me, everything would be all right. It's your fault that we're having this problem. Instead of humbling ourselves and coming to the foot of the cross, instead of doing that, we start getting out the knife and we stab her with words. That wound, that beautiful, precious gift that God has given. And oh, maybe we realize we've done it and we repent and we're sorry, but not deep enough. We haven't really repented. Our heart hasn't really seen what we're doing. And so the next time we get another knife, it's a little bigger this time. She still doesn't learn her lesson, we think. So we got to change her. We got to get her to see it our way. After all, I'm the head. And so we stab her again. and she's becoming wounded. And the next time it's a little bigger knife. And that beautiful, precious, lovely, created in the image of God, help meet for me, is being wounded and stabbed over and over. Harsh words. Angry words. I would have never dreamt I'd do those things the day I got married. Now I'm furious. I'm mad. And so we stab her again. These things are terrible sins. And then we come to church and act like everything's okay. They're awful sins. They mar the beautiful character and person and soul of our life. It's going to be my way. And we get out the big stick and the big knife and we stab her again. It is awful what takes place. And if she still won't conform, we get out the saw. And we may chuckle, but you know it's not funny. It is not funny. When God gave you your wife, He gave you the wife that you needed because He knew the hardness of your heart. He knew the weaknesses of your life. He knew the flat spots in your life. And He knew where you needed your wife to complete you and to work a work of grace in your heart that wouldn't happen any other way. But if we're stubborn and we're rebellious, and we are wrongly interpreting and using the Scriptures, we'll get out the saw. And we'll do the unthinkable. And we'll go to work on that thing. And if it doesn't want to cooperate, we need to get serious about it. And it's really, really sad. I should not have to talk about this today, but I do need to. If that doesn't work, she still won't conform, we'll get more serious about this thing. That beautiful wife that God gave me, that lovely, beautiful, created in the image of God for my help meet. And now we're desperate. We have fallen so low into the clutches of the lies of the devil. It all started with letting a little bitterness come in. It all started with some resentment toward what God was wanting to work in our hearts. And we just stiffened ourselves. And we set out to change her. After all, she's under my authority. She needs to change and conform her life into my life. And we never see what we're doing. Our eyes are so blinded. All we can see is those verses that speak to her. We don't see those. We are blinded. We have deceived ourselves. And we say it's her fault. And so people have done horrible things to their wives. They have gone out in rebellion and wickedness against their wife, and they have taken that beautiful, pure wife of theirs, and they have marred them, they have stabbed them, and then they have cut them in a way that has cut so deep into the heart that only God can give them grace to be healed. They've cut them. They've ruined them. They've marred them. And they've gone out and they've committed horrible sins against the one that they love. They have committed adultery. They have committed all manner of wickedness against the wife whom they loved. You say, Brother Aaron, you're way off the mark. There's no one here like that. I hope you're right. I hope there's no one here like that. We have been amazed to discover the sins under cloaks of religion. Now their wife is so crushed and so wrecked that only God can pick up the broken pieces and make her whole. Purity in marriage. I must talk about it. The Bible tells us marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your marriage be held in honor and esteemed worthy and precious and of great price and especially dear. Thus, let the marriage bed be undefiled, kept dishonored, for God will judge and punish the unchaste, all of those guilty of sexual vice and adultery. Know this, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, no person in that kind of sin, no person practicing sexual vice and impurity in thought or in this life in deed has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one delude and deceive you with empty excuses or groundless arguments for these sins. For because of these sins cometh the wrath of God upon the rebellious and the disobedient. Today it's shocking. I believe it was Brother Denny who mentioned in the beginning of the week here that according to polls taken, the divorce rate's no different in the church than it is in the world. Is that right? Is that what he said? There are also polls taken that show that the matter of moral purity is not really a lot different in the professed church than it is in the world. In polls taken of those who have been hooked by pornography, in the church or out of the church, there is an alarming thing happening. And that is that moral purity is declining, and it's declining in the church just like it is outside of the church. Where is your heart? The Bible says that whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Are you a one-woman man? Let me ask that again. Are you a one-woman man? You have eyes for none other but your wife. Or are you like that one with rolling eyes that whenever you're out in society, your eyes are roving about, looking to see what you can see? Pornography is a terrible sin against God and against your wife. And the oneness that God has desired and designed should be between you and your wife, it's a destroyer. It's a killer. It's a robber. It's a lie. It's deceiving. It's damning. Today, with the internet, you don't have to go out and buy it. It's only a click away. Men, we must have the law of God written upon our hearts. It's not going to be enough to have a doctrinal statement. We must have the law of God written upon our hearts and the fear of God dwelling in our hearts. And today, my dear sinner friend, if you're caught in pornography, I would to God that you would repent and turn and confess and be cleansed and washed. Then you drag that into your chaste, holy wife, that defilement, that sin, that iniquity into your marriage bed? Are you a one-woman man? Malachi tells us an interesting thing. He says in Malachi chapter 3 or chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, "You have done this again in covering the altar of the Lord with tears and weeping and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. And ye say, wherefore, Lord, why don't you hear our crying and our weeping? Wherefore?" Now, men, stop and let this sink in. "Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously." You know, it'd be a very sad thing if we went through this week with covering the altar with tears, but not dealing with the sin between us and our wife, our spouse. God says, you can cover the altar with tears and weeping and crying, but he doesn't regard it. And the people say, "Well, why, Lord? Why haven't you regarded it?" And the answer comes back, "Because the Lord has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Take heed to thy spirit, that none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth." Take heed to thy spirit, that none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel saith, he hateth putting away, he hateth divorce. But he also hateth the spirit of the divorce. If Jesus said to look on a woman, to lust after her, is committing adultery, what about the spirit of divorce? Is it not just as damaging? In Malachi 2:16 he says, "One covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts." He covereth violence with his garment. You men are all here, many of you, without your wife. If I were able, or we were able, to ask your wife today, is he a godly man? Is he a Christ-like man in his relationship with you? What would your wife say? You know, it's possible for you to be here and to cover your sin against your wife as with a garment, and hide behind it and go into the prayer room and pray ever so nicely. But let me ask you a question. Can you pray with your wife in the same manner as you pray with the brethren? Can you? And if the answer is no, why not? See, your wife knows you. My wife knows me. She knows when there's something between us. She knows when my attitude wasn't right. But you know, you could sit here all week long and you could cover your sin with the garment of pretense and hypocrisy. You could sit here having the spirit of adultery in your heart, lusting after other women. You could sit here that way. You could sit here with a critical attitude toward your wife. You could sit here with an authoritative, un-Christ-like spirit, trampling your wife, stepping on her, standing on her, reducing her down to nothing, where she's just your slave. The gleam isn't in her eye anymore. But she's a godly woman. So she's submitting to you. She's crying out to the Lord that God would get a hold of you this week. Like the testimony, was it last night? His wife was praying. Oh Lord, something's not right with my husband. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but I know there's something not right. Oh God. If this is really so, please let me see it. But if it's not, if it's just my imagination, then take the burden away. I wonder if there's any wives praying that this weekend. Saying, oh God, would you get a hold of my husband? Please don't let him come back saying how wonderful it was and get up in church on Sunday morning and testify how God did a work in his heart. But never deal with the sin in his relationship with his wife. I would just like to, in the few moments as we're closing here, ask a few questions. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father in heaven, would you please speak to every heart of every husband here today. And let us not put up any smoke screen or any defense, Lord, and say, yeah, but you don't know my wife, and if my wife... No, it's not your wife. Husband, it's you. Oh God, I pray, have mercy upon us husbands, Lord. God, today I ask in Jesus' name that as we are seated before you, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Father, you show us our sin. Am I a servant of Jesus Christ to my wife? Do I lay down my life, or do I always get the last word? It always goes my way. Do I listen to my wife? Do I listen to her heart, to her concerns, to her burdens, or do I just not hear them and push on? Do I indicate, whether by word or action or just my spirit, that she's the problem, it's her fault, and I say she's got the beam in her eye, I'm okay, oh God. Do I trample my wife? Do I step upon her very soul, essence, and being and put her down and belittle her? Then turn around and stab her with unkind words, angry words? Do I give her the cold shoulder treatment? and hold out on her. Am I guilty of adultery? Physical adultery or lustful, emotional adultery? Those magazines. Why do I look at those magazines? Is it to get information about the truck, or is it to see the mere naked women? Is it to see and lust after women? Oh, but it's not pornography. It's just Sports Illustrated. Or it's just something else. Oh, God. Please do not let any man deceive his own heart here today. But go deeply in the heart of every man. And Father, as we just close the meeting, we do say thank you, Lord, that there is a cleansing fountain open for sin and uncleanness. And the Bible says, such were some of you. But ye are washed. Oh, glory. Father, I pray, would you strengthen every marriage relationship here, that it may be nurturing and growing in oneness, that there be not a single area for the devil to get a foothold. Oh, that love would abound between husband and wife. And then when love is abounding in husband and wife relationship, then love will abound to our children. And when love is abounding in our homes, then love will abound in our churches. And when love is abounding in our churches, love will abound in the community, and they will see that we are different. And they will give glory to God. Oh, Father, this is our prayer today. I pray that you would just take now and let your Holy Spirit settle down upon our hearts. Put your finger deeply upon the very need of our hearts. And may we go home from here with a greater love and appreciation and honor for our wife than we've had before. Because we met with Jesus. Not just some man up there telling something or preaching, but because we met with Jesus. This is our prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.